One person's food price inflation is another person's profit. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll have the global perspective on business and economics in a moment. But first, Tyson Foods reports its quarterly profits later today. While it may not be a great time to be a chicken, it's a good time to be in the chicken business, apparently. WPLN's Blake Farmer reports from a Wendy's drive-thru.
I'm trying to decide between this new Tuscan chicken sandwich or the new chicken salad.
I haven't tried the Tuscan chicken, but I know it's good.
Chicken is all the rage at the moment at burger chains like Wendy's, even barbecue places like Corky's based in Memphis. Co-owner Barry Peltz says ribs are the specialty.
But I will tell you right now that everybody that walks into that restaurant that orders a barbecue chicken dinner, I'm tickled to death.
That's because he can hardly make a buck on his pork. Prices are up nearly 50% over last year. Beef is up too. Chicken has been steadier. Lynn Steiner is a meat industry analyst. He says Tyson does sell beef and pork, but chicken is its bread and butter.
The margins for somebody that's raising chickens, buying grain basically, and selling chicken meat is very, very good. The best it's ever been in history, ever. Going back to the beginning of time.
Wow. Meanwhile, restaurants will try to wow diners with their new chicken dishes. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
Portugal's prime minister has just announced that after 3 years of economic darkness, his country's economy has been deemed healthy enough to wrap up its $108 billion bailout from the European Union. Ireland and Spain had already finished their bailouts. The BBC's Alison Roberts is covering this from the Portuguese capital, Lisbon. Good morning, Alison.
Good morning from Lisbon.
Portugal is getting to the end of its European Union bailout. It's being called a clean exit, Alison. What is the significance of that phrase?
A clean exit means to go for no further credit, no further loan guarantees, even on a precautionary basis. There was a lot of discussion that perhaps it might need such a precautionary credit line. But in the end, the government decided that it didn't want to go for that option. Now, one of the reasons was probably the fact that there would, of course, be policy strings attached. But it's also probably the case that countries like Germany weren't too keen on having to debate that whole subject again in their own parliaments with their own voters, thinking about having to stump up more money for southern European countries in trouble.
Now, speaking of strings attached, along with the original bailout in Portugal came austere, pared-back government budgets. This has been a tough period for people in Portugal.
It's been extremely tough. Levels of unemployment, poverty, and inequality are all higher than they were 3 years ago. And we already know that there are going to be further tax rises next year as the government reduces or tries to reduce the budget deficit to levels that are acceptable within the eurozone.
Alison Roberts of the BBC speaking from Lisbon. Alison, thank you.
You're welcome.
Greece and Cyprus have yet to finish with their EU rescue packages. So many of the electronic devices we bond with began their lives as a semiconductor wafer, a disk of silicon, upon which is etched the tiny patterns that make microchips work. Chips are born in weird maternity wards, multi-billion-dollar clean rooms where humans and robots work side by side. These places have a culture all their own, starting with alarming white suits people wear so they don't contaminate the product. Marketplace's Mark Garrison got rare access to one of the world's newest semiconductor plants in upstate New York.
You and I are disgusting compared to the Global Foundry's clean room. My gear gets especially dirty looks.
The recording device will be wiped one stroke at a time.
I need to turn this off now then, right?
Yes.
In the microscopic world of chips, a speck of dust is like an oil spill. So cleanliness here makes Howard Hughes look like a garbage pail kid.
A small particle could contaminate months' worth of production at one time.
Before I can go in, logistics manager Edward Cody makes sure every millimeter of me is covered with layers of suit, hood, gloves, glasses, boots, and mask. The door opens and we're inside a sci-fi landscape the size of 6 football fields. It's mostly giant robots and machines. The humans working here call them tools, as if they're sold at Home Depot.
That scanner down there, which is about a $60 million wrench...
and there are rows of them. Just the machines we're standing around cost more than Iron Man 3. This is an $8 billion facility, and counting. It's full of people in white bunny suits, looking all the same to me.
How do you know who you're talking to? I mean, do you ever mistake people?
Sometimes, yes, of course. Someone comes.
Technician Sean Bukowski says he knows his clean room coworkers by their eyes.
Even the little bit that they show their eyeballs, you know right away who's who.
Cody shows off a semiconductor wafer in progress, a thin, shiny disc the size of a personal pizza.
There's thousands and thousands of little patterns in there.
It'll be chopped up and put into your smartphones, appliances, and more. To workers, the destination is a mystery by design.
We really don't want anybody to know what that's being used for. We don't label things because of that.
A strange land of secrecy, spotlessness, and crazy outfits, where all your tech is born. In Malta, New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And remember Nokia, the company based in Finland that sold its telephone handset business to Microsoft? There's word that Nokia is now investing in something maybe not so different, $100 million in venture capital to make cars smarter and more connected. Like when the lowly phone became a platform for digital everything, the thesis now is that it's happening to cars and trucks. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.